Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Andy Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Long, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
And good morning. Here it is, another real estate show here on CCO. If you have any kind of a real estate type of question, you can call Andy and Chris, and or send a text if that's easier. Phone number is the same, 651-989-9226, and the text number is 81807, 81807. Well, we've had some pretty nice weather lately. I wonder if the real estate business is kind of gathering a little more excitement.
It's about shining just as much. I tell you, it's been a great week, Denny.
There's something that goes with that nice weather, though.
Oh, yeah.
What's good that? Interest rates, because they've gotten a lot better. And so that makes a big difference, too.
Yeah.
I mean, rates have just kind of, pummeled. Yeah. I mean, they really went down. I mean, they were at 5.25. Now you're at 4.25.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
On a 30 and a 15s are like I don't know, they're 3.75 or something like that.
Who would have guessed?
Well, money's back on sale again, and so you're seeing people come out. I think we were showing the old, when I started in the business, we used to have these books, Denny. We'd show people how much their payment would be.
Oh, sure.
And in that book, interest rates were at 6% to 13%. Is the range. The book didn't even go below 6%. Like that'll never happen. And oh, do you? Dennis has got a little cheat card from back in the day, too. And that's exactly right. So, I mean, you know, with money on sale right now, I think people have recognized that, again, that it will go up eventually. And here you go. Here's another chance to get in there and get that house that you've always wanted. And, it's been busy.
Yeah. All right. I mean, well, Denny, you were always talking about, I remember that with my parents. I mean, you had an interest rate, wasn't it?
Well, I remember I could have assumed a house, a mortgage at 17%.
Mm.
That was not unusual back then.
Did you pounce
then.
On that one?
No, I was thinking about it.
Yeah, those were tough times for equity building.
That's but you know what's funny? People still buy. This is the thing that I think that we all forget is that humans, I mean, life is going to happen with or without interest rates at whatever level they're at. So people get married, you know, people, you know, die, people, whatever. I mean, so houses are always selling in those markets. It's just a matter of what's affordable. And sometimes, like, when you get a rate that goes up that high that fast, and that person can afford a $1,400 a month payment, for an example, that just means that they have to buy a less, you know, or more affordable home. So all of a sudden it kind of puts pressure on pricing then. So with rates being as low as they are right now, it still allows houses to appreciate a little bit. So you can I was very pessimistic on, you know, kind of letting this year price it flat, you know, instead of doing another 4 to 6% like it's been doing the last couple of years. I was thinking we were going to do like 1 to 2%, you know, and now I'm starting to feel a little better about that again. We might get a little north of that because with rates softening, people will spend more.
Yeah, and I think, inventory has been real low. And now it's going to start coming back on. People are getting their stuff. I mean, there's a lot of people that were stopped in their tracks because of all this weather, you know, and trying to get some stuff done outside. But then the ice dams and then all the melting with the water in the basement and a lot of stuff like that happened. So inventory is down and, it kind of goes, it's a real good text question kind of playing with that. And it says that, you know, with inventory down, are there enough comparables for an accurate appraisal? And I don't think there's plenty enough data to be able to support that. But it's the data that hasn't closed yet that needs to support it because the prices are going up, and mm-hmm. especially in different price segments. You know, that under $300,000, I mean, is crazy.
Well, and we, I think we've talked this topic to death with appraisals, but a house is not a house, you know. Even if it's a, you know, a 3-acre lot, it's not the same house, you know, and a 3-acre compared to 3-acre or 1-acre compared to 1-acre. There's so many variables there that all the variety does is lets us get more specific. The less variety we have or the less, you know, comparables we have, then they're not very specific. And so then you're kind of playing that appraisal game of then they'll start getting conservative. I've watched this happen before where all of a sudden the appraisals start coming back a little more conservative because, you know, hey, that's a ranch. This is a 2-story. It's 3 acres versus 8 acres. And but there's nothing else to show unless you go way back. And so it just, you know, it's okay. We're going to make it through it. I mean, you know, it's just kind of going back to what I call a normal market, I feel.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have, though,
yeah.
too. I mean, if you sold your house and you sold it for too much that they can't prove it, I mean, mm-hmm. that's
well.
There's other ways in which to figure it out. It doesn't mean that house can't sell. They typically have to put just more money down. You mm-hmm. can also cancel out of that purchase agreement and try to sell it to someone else
right.
that might have more lenient financing.
Well, in the Minnesota Association of Realtors, I think it was, that put out the article this week that was – or last week might have been – that was saying that we're trending about 14% less inventory than we had last year at this time. So it's not like there's nothing for sale. There's still quite a few properties for sale. It's just a little bit less.
What about, and you guys address this from time to time, and the reason I want to bring it up is I was talking to a young woman here at the station last week that she and her significant other want to get a house, but they're paying rent, and they're saying, the rent is killing us. Are they going to be, given what you just said about interest rates mm-hmm. and money being the issue, is it a little bit easier for folks who are renting to get out of that situation and own their own home?
Yeah, definitely. And I'll tell you, but what's happening to the renters is that these investors have been sitting on the sideline for a long time, haven't been able mm-hmm. to get their money out of it. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, like, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm done with this. I mean, there's so many rules with it now, you know, and if people don't pay, it's hard to kick them out. I mean, it's crazy. And so what people are saying is, let's get rid of them. And so now mm-hmm. it's getting rid of the rentals. And that, I think, is the problem. That's why rental prices are so high.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, we average about 5%. We've talked about this, too, with the 5% is kind of our average in the Twin Cities, that every year that rent keeps going up across the board. Maybe not specifically to somebody listening, but, I mean, across the board, that's the average. And so that will probably continue as long as it's allowable until rentals, you start seeing vacancy rates go up. And right now they're just ridiculously low. That's why you keep seeing apartment buildings being built, because people are just saying, you know what, hey, I'm okay with that. This is a different – and it's not just in, like – apartments are not just being rented at affordable levels. It's luxury stuff, too.
Yeah.
I mean, people just want that freedom of the, I'm only going to stay here for a year, I'll sign a 1-year lease and decide what I want to do, you know, see if I like the neighborhood, see if I like the area. And so that's, you know, I don't know.
And I think renters usually get caught in, you know, they're paying so much for rent, they can't save any money.
Uh-huh.
And they don't have a down payment. But, you know, with interest rates being low, and there's down payment assistance programs, and there's also mm-hmm. Like USDA. I mean, now you're not going to be down in the city, but you got to kind of move out into a more rural area. And a rural area is not that far. It's like a Belle Plaine, you know.
Oh, forever. I mean,
it's not that far to be able to get USDA money where you mm-hmm. don't have to put any money down.
Yeah, that's, so. I mean, literally zero money, Danny. So, I mean, like, you know, back in the day when that was like a fantasy for us.
Yeah.
Remember back, well, that still is live and well. And you're still in what I'd call the inner, or not inner circle, probably a third tier circle around the city, so you could still commute. And with, you know, gas prices what they are, a lot of people don't mind the commute. Now, as soon as gas prices go up to about $4 a gallon, those outer tiers cool off pretty fast, and then everybody it's interesting how weird how our habits follow our wallets.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, we're going to talk a lot about today, get into it, unless the phone calls and stuff take us another direction. But a lot of little tips on your house that maybe you don't find when you Google, but things that we found that are that really help mm-hmm. the sale value, and little tricks of the trade. And one of these, a question just came in as it says, is it true you should paint your walls a neutral color for resale, including the kitchen? What do you think?
Neutral color. Andy?
Yeah, I'm always neutral. I think that and then have fun with your pillows and your colors, your fruit basket on the counter or the flowers or whatever. And that's where you put your punch of color in there, I think.
And I think what they're saying too is that when you, it's throughout the whole place. And if you take it from room to room, the problem is if you do different colors in different rooms, it makes it look smaller. You know, so if you do mm-hmm. a neutral and it goes throughout the whole thing, it makes the home appear bigger. So, yeah, that is something that we do. But it's not just you know, white. You know, there's different colors. We've been using a lot of clay beige. Called clay beige. If you go, if you have some oak colors in there, and it looks great. It really kind of makes the wood look better. And I mean, and it feels like it's updated.
I think that warmness is key, because you know you want people to come in there and feel like they're comfortable, and that's feeling at home, which makes people write offers.
All right, tell you what, let's take a quick break here, inviting our listeners to join in on the conversation. If you have a real estate type of question, call it in or text it in. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. And good morning. Welcome back to our real estate show here on CCO. If you have that kind of a question, 651-989-9226. Text in the meantime is 81807. Your real estate questions via text. Chris and Andy in studio. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of once in a while you guys come up with, not just you, because you've been in the business for a while, so you know some, I don't want to say tricks of the trade, but you kind of know some ins and outs that will help the homeowner sell their particular product.
Well, and I think that's because, I mean, when you're working with buyers constantly and you hear them talk about the same thing, and then you figure out why they're saying that and what leads them to that. And I think that's the most important thing. When you're selling your house, you got to think like a buyer does. And think like a buyer that's buying your home, not that's buying a different home. And that, I mean, and that's what I think you find on the internet. You know, they kind of got to hit everything. And so I think in an individual home, it makes a big difference on who your buyer is.
Well, right. And I think that there's also limitations that you have within the parameters of an investment. Like, we don't want to have somebody spend, you know, let's say they spend a $50,000 or $100,000 on a kitchen remodel bathroom combo, and then they get back $60,000 or $30,000. And so some of these improvements don't necessarily give dollar for dollar back. But let me give you an example. Let's say you have a $1 million house, potentially a house that's worth $1 million, and the way you're going to sell it, you're going to get $600,000. So now you put that $100,000 into it, you might get closer to that $1 million. You know, and in that scenario, that investment might, you know, yield you a better return versus the house where you're pushing yourself over the value for the neighborhood. You know, if your house is worth $300,000, you do $100,000 remodeling, you're not going to get $400,000. You're going to probably get $310,000 or $320,000. You know what I mean? Because that's all the neighborhood can bear at that time.
You know, though, sometimes I've had luck with those kind of houses. You know, everyone says, oh, I don't want to be the most expensive house in the neighborhood. But I'll tell you what, some people do. And they want the nicest house in the neighborhood.
So you're giving them the nicest. Really?
Well, yes. Well, no.
For a long-term hold, though, not for a short-term.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay. But it's kind of like, all right, do I want some real nice stuff? Because typically what happens in that situation, so say it's in that $300,000, you got $400,000 into it, you know, it's one of those things that, gosh, I could go to another neighborhood that I could get for that, you know, $350,000 that's not going to get me as much, and I'm going to probably get this one for $350,000, and it's going to give me a lot more. So being the biggest home in the neighborhood or having the most stuff, I mean, a lot of people move into homes and then they remodel them and have more money into that anyways.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a way in which to be able to say, hey, you know, yeah, they got $400,000 into it. I'm getting $350,000. I would have done that. Everything's done. I don't have to worry about it. Get low rates like we have right now. And I don't think it doesn't hurt you, you know, because I don't think, I mean, in Minnesota, it's not like, hey, it's just this little neighborhood. People justify. And when they justify, they look at it and say, you know what? Gosh, I could do that, but geez, I'd have to pay $400,000 there. I'll take it here for $350,000.
Well, kind of like what Andy was suggesting, too. If I'm going to be staying in the home for a long period of time, hey, I'm going to enjoy this.
Time usually heals all financial mistakes, usually.
Usually.
You hit that right on the nose.
I think
too many people, and I was the perfect test case for this, is that I only did things that I knew were going to make me money.
Yeah.
Rather than enjoying it. And then you kind of put everything in it when it comes time to sell because you need to do that, and then you never enjoyed it in the first place.
Right.
You know? So.
But, you know, think about like a kitchen. So we've talked about this before where, you know, you say like looking at that remodel job again and you look at things like, for example, moving the sink, which is one of the first things designers seem to always like to do. And then let's move the windows and let's do – all of a sudden that's where those costs are going kaboom through the roof, because now you're addressing electrical, plumbing, framing, windows,
siding.
Yeah, you got it. And so all of a sudden then, yes, it's different for you. But remember, it's different for that new buyer coming in without anything being even moved just by simply remodeling that kitchen. And a lot of times I think the other mistake that we're making is that a lot of times we'll go down to the do-it-yourselfer store and we buy the cabinets that look pretty, but behind the prettiness, there's actually not a lot of quality. And that's one of those things, too, that I'll tell you what, if you are going to spend the money, make sure the people that care about cabinets really care about cabinets. So I've noticed that with new construction. They'll come in, they look at the drawers, they look at the construction of the drawer, then they open up the cabinet. Is there backs in it? No backs. Is it just a drywall, you know, back? And is it painted? I mean, some of these builders that we even shop nowadays don't even paint the backs of the cabinets, which, and everybody says, oh, that's a quality thing. Well, the cabinets are up before, obviously, the walls are painted. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Sure. Yeah, you know, other things that you talked about, little tricks and things like that. I'm really big into like storage rooms and what you put in those storage rooms and closets. So whatever that closet is meant to be, if it's a kid's closet, then kid's clothes go in there, not all your luggage and mom's extra dress. You got to keep it all the kid's stuff because what it does, it makes people think that, okay, there's not enough storage in here. And then the other thing is when you do have that storage room, don't let stuff hang over the shelving. That's kind of one of my big things because it looks like then it looks cluttered though.
Messy.
But if you have all boxes in there that just don't go over that shelf, you're going to be fine. And people are like, oh my, look at all this storage. So it's kind of a little trick, even though if you don't have a lot, but just you got to make them think that, hey, so, this is where the kids' clothes is and that's where the Christmas decorations
go. So an interesting, I see this quite a bit with houses that have, you know, more efficient sized bedrooms. They'll take the closet doors off, and then they put the closet doors in the basement, or they don't remember where they went, or they get lost. And so they put up the curtain rod, and then they actually have drapes. What's your thoughts, Chris, on that? Because I'm telling you, I see that in probably half the houses I show that are under 350. It's because the doors can't open without hitting something, so they take the doors away.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I've actually done that on a couple flips. I didn't really like doing it, but I'll tell you what. I mean, the cost was there, and that – I mean, it is your bedroom, and I think people are looking for more efficiency rather than, hey, it's where all my friends are going to hang out with me or where we're going to watch TV.
Or those big clunky bifold doors anyway that the kids rip off the things and they're hanging there broken anyway. So and then people repurpose those closets as well. They'll start doing desks in there, so they do a 50-50 combo of clothes and desk area or computer. And so there's a lot of ways to repurpose those spaces.
And it's a lot better than, you know, the stickers and posters that were on them that are ripped off and then there's all the papers. There. And then that kid that got mad and punched a hole in it and then it doesn't match the other one.
See Chris's
You've
room.
Seen it all. All right, I tell you what, we need to take a break. We do have another half hour of the show to go, so if you do have any kind of a real estate question, call it in or text it in. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our real estate show here on CCO. Chris and Andy in studio. If you do have that kind of a question, text it at 81807 or call it in at 651-989-9226. Chris and Andy, what do we have? You want to grab a text or two?
Yeah, we're getting text messages. Are agents employees or independent contractors with the broker?
Independent contractors.
Independent contractors, absolutely. But they have to work under a broker to be able to sell real estate in Minnesota.
Key supervision, right? Isn't that the phrase they use? It's the broker provides a supervision of all transactions. Yeah. And so
ultimately, the broker is responsible for that transaction and that agent.
Yeah, and a real estate agent's really considered to be a salesperson underneath the broker. The broker's responsible for the transaction. So even though you're meeting the individual realtor or whatever, that it's actually the brokerage you're making the contract with.
So that's the law in Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, right, and that's why some of those brokers do control like the commission rates, where some brokerages will not let commissions, you know, fluctuate. They keep them at a certain level. And then there's other firms like, you know, like REMAX, where it's independent, where we actually can fluctuate. We're independent business owners, and the brokerage lets us, you know, set our own rates. The brokerage has nothing to do with that.
Okay, interesting.
Okay. When you need money from your current house to buy your next house, how do people deal with the stress of not knowing if a great house will be available in the time that you need to find it?
It sounds like every one of my customers.
Thanks, Andy. We'll talk to you this afternoon.
Yeah, see you in 20 minutes. That's the truth with everyone right now. I think that if you have the ability to buy a house before you have the need to sell, is the easiest way for you to make a move in this kind of an environment. If that's not comfortable for you, you choose not to do that or whatever, then it's like two moving cars going in the opposite directions to try to time a closing of a sale and time of the buyer. It's not like it used to be where we can slow everything down and you literally step from one to the other. Now they're moving kind of quick. And I generally tell people, let's get your house sold and then let's find temporary living. When we go to buy, we can make the buy happen a little faster. That usually seems to be a 30-day, 45-day close. So,
but I think people don't do it because they don't understand that they can do it.
Right.
And like I was saying, is that you could purchase a home. There's a lot of ways in which to finance it, even if you don't even have any money. But if you have equity in your home, there's ways in which to be able to qualify for that next thing. And that's what we go over and kind of basically say, hey, Here's the story. First of all, you got to have an honest assessment of what your house is worth, okay, and know that, you know what, hey, it's going to be you're going to sell between 280 and 300. So thinking it's 280, okay? And now it's like, hey, I want to go buy that $500,000 house. Let me grab the equity out of here and finance that. What you're doing is now you're deciding on how long that house is going to take to sell. And if it's priced right and it's in that price range, you're going to be out of there in 60 days. Yep. So it's really 2 months of payments difference. And so it might be $5,000 to $7,000 to $10,000. And is that worth it to be able to go buy your dream home and be able to negotiate? Because you'll probably get that off the other house that you're buying.
Well said. Yeah, I agree with that 1,000%. I think that there's other ways people don't realize that they can do, like some, even like with building a new house. A lot of the builders that we're currently working with in today's market will allow you to come in with a contingent offer upon the sale of your house, as long as you have a decent real estate agent or the builder's real estate agent can actually get that house listed for you. So the builder has a confidence that house will get sold, and they'll take the risk with you with a small deposit that, like the HELOC, you know, the home equity line of credit, will come in off of your existing house to give the builder the deposit and get the builder started. And so building is actually really an easy one to do, because then we can also, the builder will time the closing where, hey, we're out 60 days, guys, from closing. You should probably throw your house on the market, get it on the market. We get it sold. And then we can, that is a little easier to time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, I mean, to me, it's about getting the information to make an informed decision. And I think people just don't have it. And I think if you give it to them and you explain it to them, then it totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, okay, we got more. Why don't we do the phone call?
Sure. Let's see who's on the line. Clarence is calling from St. Paul. Clarence, you're on CCO.
What do you guys think of a room addition where you take a kitchen and make an eat-in kitchen with a full-size kitchen table?
From what?
Well, from a value to the house standpoint. Do you think that's something that people want?
Well, so you sure, but what do you currently have right now? Is what I'm asking you. So, is it an older home with a smaller kitchen, and you're trying to
older homes that have a little breakfast nook, or they have a space for about a 2-foot by 4-foot table, and not a real kitchen table.
You got it. Absolutely. I think that it's a very good idea on those. Or, you know, or you open it up to that dining room, because typically there's a dining room that's on there, but you can open it up to that and utilize that space.
It does. You know, Chris, it brings up a real interesting conversation with, you know, the way people live nowadays is different than they used to in the, you know, back when those houses were built. So the formality of having a formal dining in a butler's pantry or a smaller galley kitchen where somebody else was making your dinner. Now the homeowner sometimes, or 95% of the time, is making their own dinners, and they love to be in the kitchen. You know, it's actually a hobby for a lot of people is cooking. And then, like we were talking with, you know, Dara last week, we were saying the different styles of kitchens and how it enhances the house values. And Clarence, I think it's a great idea to always enhance the kitchen, build a beautiful area for the family to enjoy a dinner, or have a big enough space where they can entertain. And that's a great
differentiator
investment
between your home and the other ones.
For sure.
Because a lot of them are like that. That makes a big deal. But I'll tell you, the other thing is that you don't have to put in foundations and stuff. Sometimes you can cantilever it out. Sometimes you can use a bay window that's going to give you enough area to be able to kind of make that impact as well.
Well, you know, what's funny is that we sometimes we'll do the Four Season porch style where they're put out on legs and they have the footings going down. But boy, there's nothing better than when you go down into a basement and they have that area excavated, and that now you have a new spot in your basement that actually is updated and nice and clean and dry.
Andy, remember that house we talked about last week, or I talked about, that was the super, super clean one that had 6 bedrooms upstairs?
Yes.
They just sold it.
Well, congratulations, guys.
That's awesome. So they think that when you talked about swimming in the pool rather than a tub, they think that helps sell it.
Denny, we had one of our listeners come out to the open house last week and said, "You know, you guys are pretty decent-sized guys," he goes. "I thought that was the funniest thing you ever said when I made a reference that we wouldn't have a tub. We would need a pool in the basement for Chris and I to fit into." And
together, that is.
Yeah. Okay. Football players, well, that's what happens.
Congratulations to that.
That's great news, guys.
That is fantastic. Okay, what did we kind of finish
you covered that?
That.
I don't know if you money? Finished that or not about the money. Maybe rephrase it and maybe we could pick up.
No, we did. We did. Oh, we just basically said, talk to a lender. you know, and figure out that, hey, if you can qualify and get that money out and what it really will cost you, it'll work out for you.
Well, I would say that that's the difference between a local lender that you can meet with versus the online lenders that are out there that are just doing the refis, because there is a difference, guys. I mean, you sit down with, you know, Travis Whitford here with Bay Equity. He's the kind of guy that'll sit down, strategize, show you how and where to get those dollars that are, and also with the fees that are minimal. And that's the thing that I've really prided with the two of us when we've worked together over the years, is that, you know, he can find money that's affordable that actually makes things make sense versus, you know, you go independently and you do it on your own. And, you know, banks do work together, by the way, too, so that they can actually get a, you know, HELOC from one bank. They're the lending on the mortgage. They work together. They make sure that you're getting minimal fees on things, and they bundle everything together, which is really cool.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Has the quality of modular homes improved over the last 15 or more years?
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends what you think of modular as well, because there, I mean, there's a lot of buildings that come out in, like, wall sections. You know, it's not just like half a house comes mm-hmm. on a trailer. But what do you think?
I tell you what, though. We have a couple of our friends that are up on the horseshoe chain up in St. Cloud, and they all bought cabin-style trailers. And, I mean, this is off topic a little bit, but just for a second, entertain me. Granite countertops, cherry cabinets. I mean, we're talking wood
wow.
floors, big vaulted ceilings, lofts. I mean, these are – they pull them in on wheels, but these are the most beautiful little cabins I've ever seen, you know, for under $100,000. Now, when you talk about, like, are we talking about, like, a mobile home, or are we talking about, like, modular? To me, modular is where they're bringing houses out in pieces and actually using a foundation and putting it together on site. I think they're some of the highest quality built homes because they're built in a dry factory environment. They're brought to site. They're put together faster, so you're not exposing a lot of those materials to the elements for 30 days. So you're getting them buttoned up quicker. I think, it, you know, but it's still confusing to most of us when we put it together because we don't think it's, I don't know, because it comes from a factory. Maybe it's less of a quality, but that's not the case at all. Well, and they're super efficient with their lumber usage, too, by the way. They don't have the dumpsters full of lumber on the job site.
Yeah.
You know, they actually are very efficient with all their cuts, and they order it from the mills that way. So, anyway.
All right, we need to take a break, but we'll be back with more. If you have a real estate type of question, call it in or text it in 651-989-9226. Again, text number is 81807. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our real estate show. Chris and Andy in studio. If you have that kind of a question, call it in, text it in. We have a line open. Or, again, if it's easier, send us a text. That number is 81807. Talking a little bit about kind of the tricks of the trade,
yeah.
among other things. We're getting a lot of questions about, I'm sure you guys, kitchens, right? Isn't that like the biggest topic when you get asked about?
It's a big yep. resale part, I'll tell you that.
Harder than
home. I'll tell you, yeah, with that kitchen too, I mean, if you're going to redo it, I mean, there's ways in which to do it for a lot less expensive. And one is just keeping the boxes of those cabinets and getting new doors.
Resale.
You know? Yeah, mm-hmm. and then you can always add some stuff to that, other boxes to that. It'll still cost you a lot less. And then the other part is that, you know, you're talking about windows. You know, if you mm-hmm. move the window location, that's a tough one because then you're patching and then maybe you're painting or doing new vinyl or right. whatever. But if you just extend that one window that you have mm-hmm. and make it a lot bigger and have less uppers and get more light in there.
Right.
I mean, it sells.
Well, usually going bigger, yeah, you're just cutting away what's already there versus moving. Now you're trying to match materials, which can make the whole back side of the house have to be, skinned or whatever you want to call it. So, but that, you know, I think of like the cheaper things. We were talking about this in bathrooms, having the highest visual impact for someone when they walk in there. What is that? And for the least amount of money possible is when I walk into that do-it-yourself store, that's what I'm looking for. You know, things that can make people go, wow, that's cool. That's different. Look at the way they did this. Look at the way they did that, you know. Something as simple, I know, Chris, you normally are the one that says this, the tile backsplash, for an example. And it's such a cool thing to do. And if you do it, even doing it yourself, as long as you have straight grout lines, you can usually do that for hundreds of dollars. I mean, I think most contractors are $1,000, $1,500 to put a tile backsplash in. So if you can't do it yourself, let them do it. Great, great impact. Low voltage lighting.
If it's not straight, then it's kind of a classic feel. And so then it feels like it's really older.
Looks like a house that's settled.
But it gives it that old feel that, hey, this thing's going to stand forever.
Yeah, and then half of the tile are hanging on the countertop.
Okay, we got one here. They live in a townhome where it's all retired folks. They want to redo their bathroom. They want to know if they should keep the tub for resale. Right now, only the grandkids use it, and they're all like $500,000 and up. I'll tell you what, in that situation, I would try to keep it. Mm-hmm. I would try to do a standalone tub, and you can get a little smaller with that, and you can kind of maneuver it rather than the built-in tub, and then just make a separate shower and maybe not as big. But I would keep
and understand who your audience is too. I mean, I've seen it where you know you do the kind of the Roman looking bath where they'll actually put like a soffit around the tub itself and do a couple pillars. Well, the pillars can work as a structural thing. So instead of having the handrail there, you use something like a pillar, for an example, that can help somebody get their way in. Also consider when you're building that stuff, a lot of people like to sit and spin if they're getting into a bigger tub. So if you don't have an easy way into the tub, people won't use it. If it's accessible and functional, I think that would be an important piece with that as well.
Text question, sidewalk is sinking. By the garage floor is awful. Is there a repair? Replace.
Gutters.
I mean, at that point, I mean, again, depending price range that you're in, it might be prudent to just be able to take the whole thing, the whole garage and that front sidewalk, mm-hmm. you know, and just redo the whole
thing. But so for an example, like a garage floor in a normal garage, let's say it's a, you know, a $3,000 to $6,000 problem. I mean, to have it ripped up, pulled out, re-poured, is the return there? And I don't know if it is, but I tell you what is there. Is the now they don't have the concerns about what that is. A lot of times that's cosmetic because it is water. The whole last hour before us was talking about water. Water can be your enemy, especially when you don't have the right gutters getting the water away from that house. The water gets into those sidewalks, makes a sidewalk heave. You know, like this time of year, almost every house we look at has a heave sidewalk in some spot in the driveway or the sidewalk, garage floors, and then everything come back in a month. When all the frost is out, everything settles back down again. So it's just if you can get that water out of there before it gets underneath there, before it freezes, we're usually okay.
And when you say if there's return on it, you're going to spend $8,000 to rip that out and put a new one. Uh-huh. Are you going to make $8,000? No, but I guarantee you will make more than $8,000 on the price because someone else is going to come in. And if they don't like it and it's like, oh, my gosh, mm-hmm. it's terrible, and it sits for a long time, mm-hmm. that little garage floor is going to cost you $20,000.
So now we're talking my alley. So let's say we do that garage floor. You spend $8,000. What if you spent $12,000 and you had the epoxy that looks like granite put down? Denny has
waste
a buddy.
Of money. No.
Are you fooling me?
It's awesome.
I literally, my jaw's on the table. I that is my favorite thing.
Depends
walk
what price
into a heated
though.
Garage that has, I mean, now that's the kids' party zone. That's the, you have a holiday.
Extension
you can
of the
heat
home.
The garage and that floor is clean and it's, oh my gosh, we use it all the time, our garage space.
Let me re-clarify
what I was
saying. I
also put speakers in my garage. I have cable TV in my garage.
I know, but so. I was thinking it was a lower-priced home.
Oh, sure.
And so if you add that to it, I mean, yeah, it's super nice, but do you get the payback
Chris,
from
those
it?
People like the party, too.
Okay, sorry.
Right, actually, probably more. You know, the younger crowd, you know, you get that first-time buyer, the garage is a nice space to fix.
Let's go to the phones. We have time, I think. Yes. Frank is calling from Eden Prairie. Frank, what's your question, please?
Yes, I have a question about senior living. They're building a huge five-story building in Chanhassen with an Aldi's underneath. What would you consider that versus just an ordinary apartment?
Well, I think it becomes a lifestyle, you know, and kind of looking what you mm-hmm. want out of it. But it's gonna bring more money in the future, and I like those. I think it keeps you active and stuff, too.
Well, what do you think the word senior living adds to the rent price every month? $1,000?
Yeah,
honestly?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Just because it's senior living. Now, what does that mean? Is it just because everybody in the building is a certain age and older? And why do you want that? You know, you know what I'm saying? So it's like really look at and research, you know, Frank. What I would look at is that sometimes just getting into an apartment. If you're coming from a single-family home, try apartment living first. See if that's comfortable for you. Then if you feel like, hey, I don't got enough buddies hanging around in the apartment building, you want to play cards, go to lunch, whatever, go fishing, and then maybe that senior living is the next step. But it usually comes with a higher price tag.
Yep. Okay, why do some homes qualify for FHA financing and some do not? A lot of times it's based on the appraisal, and they're just a little, because it's less money down, they're a little more picky on things like chipped paint. I mean, that's kind of a big thing.
Was that for I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I should be listening.
Why do some homes qualify for FHA and some do not?
Oh,
it's typically
sure. It's
due to repairs.
It's because there's such a little investment done by the homeowner that the investors want to make sure that the house is perfect, almost perfect.
And the one thing is about the appraisal. Now, a lot of people put this in other purchase agreements, but in an FHA appraisal, it states there's an escape clause. And what that mm-hmm. is that if the house doesn't appraise for what you paid for it, you don't have to purchase it.
Correct.
And then that the interesting thing is that appraisal with FHA sticks with it for 6 months.
Yep.
So if you get a bad appraisal that's low, you're not going to be able to have someone else do FHA financing with it if you want to get a higher price for 6 months after that.
Yeah. So. That's, well, and you know, condos are something else, too, that, you know, before you go looking, if you're going to use FHA as your financing vehicle, you do want to make sure that those buildings are approved ahead of time. And they the buildings do have to pay to stay on that list. And so some of them will drop their FHA or VA status because of cost. And they say, oh, it doesn't cost anything. It costs something the second you have to talk about it. You know what I mean? So it's like they mean just from an administrative perspective, maybe not from a fee. But
There's a question here. Is there a primer that you can put on woodwork so you don't need to sand it? That's probably for Andy Lindis.
It is, but I think Long probably like you, the cupboard doors, I don't know. It might be more efficient. You got to clean them. You got to prime them or prep them before. And I don't think there's any magic. You know, there's liquid sander. You could do that first. But it's like a friend of mine said, you can paint a couch if you want.
It's not going to work.
Yeah, what would you tell a client? See, I want to fix up my kitchen, but I don't want to go to that expensive refacing. Can I just slap some primer and paint?
Absolutely. I mean, it's still probably look better than – I mean, but it's obviously it's stages in what you want to get in a return.
Well, you know, and that's – we used to jokingly say this is kind of like, you know, if you kind of have a little piglet there, you put, you know, earrings on it, it's still a piglet. So make sure that you have the – if you're trying to fancy up something that's really can't get too fancy, you know, just be careful. I'd say because I the worst thing in the world is when you're masking – you know, and you weren't implying that by any way. I'm just saying that I hate it when I look at painted cabinets and you're like, these are garbage. And they're going to come out anyway, so the painting didn't fool me, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Buyer beware.
I was in a house just yesterday that they haven't lived in it for a year, and it's dated and everything like that. But there's still ways that you can do that. Now, so this person, what we said is get everything out. That's the other thing. If it's going to be vacant, make it completely vacant.
Ah.
Don't leave stuff in the garage because what it does, it makes them think. They're like, okay, what's going on here and what's happening?
Yeah.
And so you can make it as big as possible by getting that out. And then we said we found out there was wood floors under some of the in the bedrooms, and that carpet needs to go anyway. So took out that to be able to try to give it value. And then just deep clean it. And it you'll
– Makes a world of
difference. And people will grab it because it's in a great area.
We have to head out of here. We're just about out of time. We have seconds to go. How do we get in touch individually with you guys?
Andy's not listening, but you can go to chrisrooney.com to find me.
Yeah, go to prasky.com. Tomorrow we're out in North Point. We actually have a wine and cheese party again at one of our houses under 400,000. We also have a cute little Rambler being built. We'd love to tell you all about.
All right. And how do we get in touch with you now?
chrisrooney.com.
Just asking. Had to ask.
Andy
all right.
Prasky.
We'll see you next week here on CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.